gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Happy Monday, everybody. We welcome Seattle back in the house. Woot! Woo! Clay. It's the station.
Clay 1180.
There you go. Hello. In the hizzy. All right.
I didn't think you could do claymation on the radio.
Missed you, Seattle.
Yep.
Yes, it is. We're in claymation on current TV as
yeah.
well.
We were once a little green ball of clay.
Exactly. Oh, looky. It's an unsolicited testimonial.
Oh.
Sheila. And her dog, Bijou. Oh, Bijou's hanging something romantic. That's Steph crap for Christmas. Look, there's pictured in there Steph crap. Steph and the Mooks.
Yep, we posted that picture up on Facebook.
I thought you'd like to see my rescue dog, Bijou. And our holiday finery gift from my son. We are proudly wearing our Steph crap all around town, proudly claiming we are Steph heads. He looks especially handsome in a Stephanie Miller t-shirt.
Get your own Steph crap at StephanieMiller.com.
Please, please, and thank you. Also, at SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. Tickets are almost gone for Washington, D.C. inauguration weekend, January 19th. The Sexy Liberal Palooza. Go get it. There's some rear orchestra, some front balcony, I believe. Some
whatever.
There you go. Two huge surprise celebrity guests. In fact, two of them were news stories you sent me today, and I can't
them
because you know me, I have loose lips.
Oh, dear.
Perhaps you've said too much.
Yes.
Perhaps I have.
As people rush to the internet to look for news stories of celebrities.
Who could be the two huge surprise celebrity guests on panel for Washington, D.C.? I don't know. All right. Listeners with fun facts, because we, for some reason, got a barrage of right-wing callers last week.
Yes, we did.
With the usual barrage of misinformation. John and Pat, and it's hard to keep up with it all. They just shoot random fun facts at you, and you're like, I don't what?
Yeah.
John in Palatine says, Steph, you had a caller who said the president loaned $2 billion to Brazil for oil drilling. If you would Google $2 billion to Brazil, she would find that that is not true. The misinformation came from Glenn Beck.
Yep.
That's where that came from.
From the horse's mouth?
Right. Okay, and Mike with some fun facts on the fiscal cliff deal.
All right.
Because we're there again, aren't we? Yesterday, if you looked at the Sunday shows, you'd like...
We're going to cut spending. It's not a revenue problem.
This is more like a debt ceiling
thing.
Going
to take this debt ceiling hostage again.
Hey.
Yada, yada, yada. But as I was saying, what eye candy for the gals to have Mitch McConnell on every Sunday show. No matter where you turn, that was... Okay. You know, if the sunlight hits your television just right and reflects off his glasses, things can burst into flame, so you need to be careful.
Mm.
Mike in Pittsburgh writes, Steph...
He's the fire starter.
Yes.
I keep listening...
He did start the fire.
He is.
Yeah,
well, we didn't. Dear Steph, I keep listening to all the criticism of the fiscal curb deal not getting the $250,000 limit for the tax increase. Here's a little factoid for you.
Okay.
In 1993, President Clinton enacted the 39.6% tax rate on incomes over $250,000.
That's outrageous. I won't pay it.
Now, the IRS adjusts the tax tables for inflation every year. Today, adjusted for inflation, Clinton's $250,000 is, wait for it,
$397,000,
which is exactly what the president got.
Interesting.
Okay. As you can see, President Obama got the same deal Clinton got 20 years ago. The country did pretty darn good then, I'd say. I'd say so, too.
Adjusted for inflation. That's just Kenyan voodoo.
Okay. All right. Isn't it just like a... It's like an acid flashback or like a Flintstones cartoon background. You're like, here we go again.
Yeah. The same rock, the same tree.
We're going to do it again.
Yeah.
Rock tree dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
With Mitch McConnell as the dinosaur.
Yes, well, I was just going to say.
Yeah.
So there's that. By the way, there's a great piece in the New York Times we have to post. More guns equals more killing.
Mm-hmm.
We got it because we got into parts of this last week. There obviously is a story in the Washington Post, the White House considering broader gun control measures.
Hallelujah.
What a concept, Jim, doing what they do all over the world, and then it has some sort of effect in some way.
That's the famous buyback in Australia.
Right. Thank you. Yes. And we had a duck hunter call in last week, remember?
Yard, despicable.
No, the actual, not cartoon ducks, the actual. Steven in South Chicago says, Steph, only a three-shot clip allowed for duck hunting. Shouldn't we give school children as much of a sporting chance as we give ducks? Yes, thank you. Oh, because some right-wing Nimrod, by the way, is going forward with a arm the teachers thing, which Which state is that? I'm looking at. I forget now. It's hard to.
Was it Alabama?
Utah. State of denial.
Utah did something.
Right. Alabama. Yeah. You know what? If you have to guess,
Alabama,
you're like,
get away.
Mississippi.
Alabama. One of those.
Those are your first two guesses for right-wing nimrods proposing ridiculous things.
Yeah.
Yes. Alabama lawmaker to introduce a bill arming teachers, despite opposition from
teachers,
school officials, teachers and school officials. And Alabama lawmaker, State Representative Carrie Rich, please and thank you, plans to introduce a bill to arm teachers and principals. Oh, and principals next week, despite the opposition of school administrators. Here's an added bonus to his plan. It does not seem to provide for any training.
Oh, great.
Firearms, so.
Because that would cost money.
What could go wrong there?
Who's going to buy these firearms for all the teachers?
I don't. You know what? I think it's a little. He's playing a little doughy on details.
Don't they need some time to actually get acquainted with the gun and know how to use it? Wouldn't that be nice? Maybe to do some target practice.
No.
More than once a year.
Anyway, love this piece by Elizabeth Rosenthal. We will post it. More guns equals more killing.
It's already posted on your Facebook page.
Oh, my God. It's like magic. I say it here.
And it comes out there.
It's awesome.
Whoa.
No, but it's just...
Ermagerd.
When we did the... You know, when all this first happened and we looked at all the statistics around the world, like, how can you just think that's okay? And this is, that's the price of freedom that your six-year-old might get shot at school. That's, you know... I mean, there is cause and effect, and I've seen a lot of articles. This one, she says, in the wake of the tragic shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut last month, the NRA proposed the best way to protect school children was to place a guard, a good guy with a gun. Remember the good guy with a gun thing?
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah, there were some of those at Fort Ord and Virginia Tech.
Right, and also Columbine.
That's right, yeah.
She says, I recently visited some Latin American countries that mesh with the NRA's vision of the promised land, where guards with guns grace every office, lobby, storefront, ATM, restaurant, and gas station. It has not made those countries saner or safer. Despite the ubiquitous presence of good guys with guns, countries like Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Colombia, and Venezuela have some of the highest homicide rates in the world.
Huh. What a coincidence.
Oh, no. You mean Wayne LaPierre could be wrong about something?
Oh, dear.
A society that is relying on guys with guns to stop violence is a sign of a society where institutions have broken down, said an expert. It's shocking to hear anyone in the United States considering a solution that would make it seem more like Colombia. Yeah, that's what I thought. It's just so great. Somalia.
More like Somalia. Yeah.
As guns proliferate legally and illegally, innocent people often seem more terrorized than protected. In Guatemala, this is lovely. Riding a public bus is a risky business. More than 500 bus drivers have been killed in robbery since 2007. Which led Insight Crime, which tracks organized crime in the Americas, to call it the most dangerous profession on the planet. When bullets start flying, everyone is vulnerable.
Hmm.
I think you pointed out this scenario, Jim. In 2010, the onboard tally included 155 drivers, 54 bus assistants, 71 passengers, and 14 presumed criminals. Oh, that seems like a good average, right?
Yeah, well, at least you got some
bad
guys.
Oh, well, we got some of them. Some were killed by the robbers' bullets and some by gun-carrying passengers. Scientific studies have consistently found that places with more guns have more violent deaths, more homicides, and more suicides.
You really need a scientific study for that.
Well, apparently you do.
Hmm.
Women and children are more likely to die if there is a gun in the house. The more guns in an area, the higher the local suicide rates. Generally, if you live in a civilized society, more guns means more deaths, said some Harvard guy.
Sure.
There is no evidence that having more guns reduces crime, none at all. After a gruesome mass murder in Australia, this is the thing, the case everybody keeps, you know, citing. In 1996, it provoked public outrage. Australia actually, they did something.
Yeah. Yes.
Isn't that weird? It's weird. They went, you know, we should, maybe. So,
Get rid of some of the guns.
They enacted stricter gun laws, including a 28-day waiting period before purchase and ban on semi-automatic weapons. Before the shoot, I don't know, there's probably no connection here, Jim.
Mm.
It just... Let's see. Before then, Australia had one mass shooting a year. Since then, rates of both homicide and suicide have dropped 50%, and there have been no mass killings. No. Hmm. None.
Coincidence.
That'd be zero. I'm sure that's completely unrelated.
It's just a theory, like global warming.
Well,
math is a liberal bias.
Look at what the White House is apparently consulting Bloomberg, and, you know, again, you can prove it. You can prove it with New York City statistics. Same thing in this article. The new mayor of Bogota has forbidden restaurants to residents to carry weapons on the streets and cars or in any public space since last February. The murder rate has dropped 50% to a 27-year low.
Hmm.
He said guns are not a defense. They are a risk.
Wow.
We appear to be the only country that is cuckoo.
That wants more guns. Yeah.
UN studies in Central America showed people who used a gun to defend against an armed assault were far more likely to be injured or killed than if they had no weapon. If you're living in a Mad Max world where criminals have free reign and there's no government to stop them, then I'd want to be armed, said the guy from Harvard. But we're not in that circumstance. We're a developed, stable country. Thank you. More guns equals more killing.
Don't you tell me guns are dangerous. I'll blow your damn head off.
Oh, wait. Oh, there. Well.
Okay, so the Washington Post, that is the story. The White House is weighing a far broader approach to curbing U.S. gun violence than just reinstating a ban on assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. This was in the Washington Post yesterday.
Yep.
A working group led by Joe Biden is serious. He's getting a lot of work done.
Yes.
That Joe Biden.
Yes.
Considering measures that would require universal background checks for gun buyers, track the movement and sale of weapons through a national database.
Huh.
What's wrong with that? I don't understand why that's...
Nothing's wrong with that.
Taking away our freedoms!
Right, except for that. To sell such changes, the White House is developing strategies to work around the NRA. Ooh, there's a Jim Dandy idea. They include rallying support from Walmarts and other gun retailers for measures that would benefit their businesses. Ooh, we're getting tricky now. We're getting smart. The White House has been in contact, as I was saying, with advisors to Bloomberg, yada, yada, yada. So I think this is encouraging. It's encouraging. So as soon as we go through the next hostage crisis, we can get on to getting something done.
That's right.
Okay. All right. And then I'll tell you what some ridiculous former NRA president had to say.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So at 17 minutes after the hour, we roll along. Our usual Monday Rude Pundit coming up, Eric Bollard and Representative Alan Grayson.
Congressman Alan Grayson.
Yeah, right. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, that woman's about as subtle as a rhinoceros horn up the backside.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 23 minutes after the hour. His rudeness coming up at the bottom of the hour, Rude Pundit. And Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. We were talking about guns. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, Steph?
Hey, not much. Go ahead.
Hey, you know what no one's talked about is Jan Brewer and Rick Perry are two favorite crazy governors. They want it to be law that you could carry a gun anywhere in the state, because when I think of safety, I think nothing more than a bunch of college kids drinking in college bars.
Right. Yeah.
Nothing could go wrong there.
Right, exactly. What could possibly go wrong? Yeah.
Yeah. And these people are taken seriously. That's the sad part about it.
Yeah, I mean, it literally, this is a former NRA president. Banning guns because of the way they look is just like segregation.
Oh, God.
Man, why do you even bother having a debate with people like this? Marion Hammer, that was her former NRA, I don't even know who she was. She equated the banning of guns because of the way they look to the lamentable history of segregation in the United States.
My God.
She told an NRA host that people were warned that if President Obama was reelected, he'd be coming after our guns full tilt. The predictions have panned out.
And the fact that he hasn't done it is proof that he's planning to.
Yes. I mean, this is when you start getting into these lunatic fringe, like the president is behind the shooting in Newtown to get gun control enacted, and you're off on the down the rabbit hole of, you know. She said, we're in for a massive fight like we've probably never seen before. Banning things and people because of the way they look went out a long time ago, but here they are again, the color of a gun, the way it looks, it's just bad politics.
Oh, my God. Wow.
That's exactly the same. And you're not banning a gun because of the way it looks, the capacity.
It's what it does. It's not.
You're a gunist. That's what you are.
You put people in prison because of what they do, not because of what
you're saying.
How
this
they
ammo
look.
Clip makes me look fat.
Right. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
In the who is it? Who did we say? Oh, Alabama. Which right wing douche nozzle? Alabama.
Alabama. Get away.
Bill that forces teachers to be armed. In another what could possibly go wrong, Vermont teachers threaten school, turns in Bushmaster rifle before being committed to a mental institution.
Okay.
Oh, boy. A Bennington, Vermont high school teacher was admitted to a psychiatric hospital for evaluation after posting some very disturbing videos on YouTube, Stephen Davis had a Bushmaster rifle in his possession and willingly handed over to police as they came to his home to investigate neighbors' report. He had high-capacity clips and about 500 rounds of ammunition. The rantings on YouTube and Facebook were highly critical of the high school. He criticized the administrators and the union and said that he had plans for retribution.
Oh, really?
You know, that's what I was thinking. That's another thing with the more gun solution to everything is teachers are people, too.
Yeah.
And you don't know who might be unstable or might not be. And it's just adding more guns in any situation just seems right. Oh, for instance, this one. Drunk man celebrating his birthday shoots and kills fellow customer in a Brooklyn diner over a squabble.
As you do.
Yeah. Jason Lewis was trying to stop the inebriated man from harassing a woman in the restaurant. The woman protested when Lewis tried to separate the pair. The drunk smacked him. He said, "Why did you smack me? We don't have to shed blood for this." The gunman disagreed, shooting him once in the chest.
Oh, God.
Wow.
He just had the gun. He just put the gun to his heart and pulled the trigger, said the owner of the diner. 2 seconds. It just took 2 seconds. I mean, this is what, you know, when you talk about more guns, because as the call
was
pointing out.
Well, if he had a gun, then.
Right. Drunk people.
The Bushmaster with 30-round clip.
Right. In a normal argument, that it wouldn't end that way. Right.
Just shoot everyone in the bar just to, you know, be safe.
Just make sure you got some of the bad ones.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, percentage, averages show at least 10% of them will be bad guys.
Right.
The other nine, price of freedom.
Michelle in Baltimore, Maryland. Hello, Michelle. Welcome.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
First, I'd like to say that I would totally go gay for you.
Awesome. Awesome. Let's get it done.
I would be your wife. I'm a professional chef. I would take such good care of you, dear. I promise you I would.
Now we're talking.
Of course, I'm your age, so you'll probably want to find something fun and young on the side. I'd understand.
Oh, my God. This is like the perfect woman.
Do you like giant dogs?
Yeah.
This is really shaping. My Monday is shaping up nicely. All right, go ahead, Michelle. You had a point about guns.
Okay. And as far as the MOOCs are concerned, you guys rock. But here's what I called to talk about. The Second Amendment, the Bill of Rights, it says a well-regulated militia.
Yep. Yep.
That's the quote that everybody likes to wave around like it's a flag. The word regulated is right in there.
Yep.
This is not, why is it so confusing? It states, our founders wanted it regulated. It does not say a well-supplied militia.
Mm-hmm.
It does not say we have the right to any gun we want.
Right.
It says it is the responsibility of the electorate to regulate the militia.
Yeah, those founding fathers were apparently big government regulators, over-regulators.
Well, apparently it needs to be challenged in a different direction.
Yep. No,
I know the Supreme Court we have now is clueless, but maybe in 2 years, maybe in 3 years.
Yep, absolutely, honey. All right.
And, of course, we have a well-regulated militia called the National Guard, and we have an Army and an Air Force, Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard.
Yes, you're right. It doesn't say militia armed to the teeth.
Right.
It says, right. Patty in Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Patty.
Hey, Stephanie, love the show.
Thank you.
I just thought it would be interesting for you all to know that Jared Loughner was able to get a gun. I believe it was the same morning of the Tucson shooting. But if you possess a medical
And looking
marijuana
at him, who
card,
would sense anything's awry there?
Yeah.
If you possess a medical marijuana card in this state, you cannot get a gun.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're a dangerous bunch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
boy. Yeah,
so I don't
sure
know what kind of criteria they're going by over here, but I can tell you, I don't want a gun anyway, but it'd be a lot safer to give me one than Jared Loughner.
I'm pretty sure I've never heard a stoner say, "Hey, let's go out and shoot stuff." Oh. What was I saying?
Makes people too lazy, even if they had the intent.
Yeah.
They're just
or
like,
I'll just sit here in the couch and eat Cheetos.
A lot more Cheeto eating. We might be even fatter, but we'd be alive.
Yes.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour. The Root Pundit next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, damn it! I have got a serious case of the Mondays.
Blah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Monday, yay!
It's Lee Poppet, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, rudeness.
Good morning.
I don't know if you heard tell, but I was quoting you all day Friday because you suddenly became a happy, clappy liberal like me.
Oh, just
here, my generally naysaying friend. But you wrote a great piece about the fiscal cliff and your take on it in your rude style.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not going to sit here and be like every other pundit that tries to pretend he knows everything about every subject. But I figure I do know a little something about politics and messaging. And you know, the politics of the fiscal cliff deal was, they set things up to be kind of a blast coming up, I think.
Right, right. Well, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say that it really once you've gotten them to fold once, it is easier to get them to fold again. And you had to get them to vote for a tax increase.
Right. Well, I mean, Rude, interesting you said the timing. You've heard obviously everybody talking about Newt Gingrich basically said that on Friday is stop this nonsense over the debt ceiling because you're just going to fold anyway, right?
Right. Right, and that Obama is being. I mean, let's hope that he's going to hold to the non-negotiating position. Let's hope he's, I don't know, threatens the $1 trillion coin or whatever he might do.
Right.
I love the $1 trillion coin. By
yes,
the way.
Me too.
I mean,
I would put your face on it if I had a choice.
Oh, thank you. The hijinks that people could have, you know, trying to rob the $1 trillion. That's like 3 or 4 movies right there.
That's
awesome.
Oh,
I left it in my pants pocket when I threw it in
the other way to get Republicans to vote for it is put Reagan on it. What's not great about that?
Oh,
you voted against the Reagan coin?
I like that.
Thank you.
Where would you keep a
$1 trillion coin?
I
don't know.
Bury it in the backyard?
Right. What was that Pierce Brosnan movie where he played the art thief? Guys, like, you're right. A million movies.
Just bury
the Thomas Crown Affair.
Right.
Bury it at the beach.
The
no
heist?
One will find it there.
Yes, all the guys with the metal detector. Some old guy.
I got $1 trillion coin.
Sid Flegelman would find it in Boca.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess ask somebody. Ask the stupidest person you know to put it away for you, and they'll just forget where it is. George W. Bush. Here, go put this somewhere.
Oops.
But you say, you write about the fiscal cliff. You said, let's put aside the myriad questions about the fiscal impact of the fiscal cliff aversion deal and just concentrate on one of the pleasures of the entire experience. President Obama just wrecked the Republicans ideologically. You don't believe it? You want to cling to your negotiator idea this time, and then you'd go on to, I mean, explain it. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I thought you explained it really well.
Right. Again, if they had waited until we went off the fiscal cliff, till all of the tax rates went up, then all Republicans would have been voting on is a tax cut,
right,
which they would have been fine with doing. They wouldn't have broken any Grover Norquist pledge or anything like that. Not that they would have hemmed and hawed but he might have even gotten it so that it was income above $250,000. However, by making them vote on a tax hike, that forced them to it really was like having the virgin in the back seat and saying and finally getting the panties to come off.
Uh huh. Yes. Yeah. Thank you for that. Now, you also you compared it. You said mother.
It was two women in the back seat.
Okay,
there
right.
We go. It was
right. Perfect for all of us. You said it's like finally convincing the tight-ass fundamentalist kid in your dorm room to smoke some weed and chill the out. You say President Obama just corrupted the Republican brand. I mean, and that really, it's hard to say how huge that is. You're right. It's been, decades, right?
It's been 2 decades at least since they made this their mantra that they will not raise taxes. This is something that I guess is post George H.W. Bush. But maybe early in the Clinton years, but since then it has been they simply will not do it, and now they don't have that anymore.
Right.
He took that away from them, and that's kind of brilliant because it's in my most hopeful moments, and it's the beginning of the year, so you know maybe that's all it is.
Maybe it's you'll reclaim your lost cynicism. Who knows?
I figure as soon as we get to the next budget round of negotiations, maybe even the Hagel nomination, who knows what
right,
it'll be.
Right, right.
But
when you lose your innocence.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm innocent and hopeful and think, well, maybe if they get used to voting for something.
Oh.
Right.
Bless your heart,
oh, that's
Rude.
So cute.
No, that but, you know, but, maybe they can cooperate. I don't know. You know, the Hegel thing is just this is it's sort of an aside, but it's not. But the Hegel thing is one of those times where I'm watching, you know, the commentators, McCain and others talk about their problems with Hegel.
Yeah,
and that's
right.
Really just a, you know, STFU moment, you know?
Yes.
Just stop.
Right. It's a Republican now they don't like because Obama wants him. I mean, it's
the wrong kind of Republican.
And you're right, Rude. I mean, in terms of what this fiscal cliff thing did, it's just you read one story after another about a party just in disarray. I mean, it's hilarious.
Yeah, it really is. And they don't know that, you know, McConnell, I've heard various things that McConnell actually wants to try to turn back the Tea Party because, you know, there's a chance that he could be challenged now in the primaries before he has to face Ashley Judd, which would be kind of awesome. that's a debate I would love to see, by the way, is Mitch McConnell versus Ashley Judd, you know.
Or any of the Judds, really. But, yeah.
Yeah.
You also talk about the bonuses that the fiscal cliff vote tossed the so-called Hastert tool rule into the toilet and flushed.
Yeah, that was the thing that Dennis Hastert gave this speech I forget what year, and early in his when he was Speaker of the House. And if you don't remember Dennis Hastert, think about your very heavy uncle who breathes heavy and wears squinty glasses.
Yeah, breathes through his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just climbing, hitting the gavel.
Yes.
But he had this rule that he started that said that he would not allow any bill to be voted on unless it had a majority of the majority in favor of it. So that meant there couldn't be coalitions of, say, moderate Republicans and Democrats that could get a bill through. It had to appease the nuts on some level. And so this broke that, this fiscal cliff deal, because it only had 85, I think, Republicans voted for it, and that was nowhere near a majority of the majority.
Right.
So, that could be bribed by meat products.
Like sausage.
Yep.
As you say, Republican intransigents had to be kicked down the stairs of the Capitol because Obama knows he's dealing with a collection of lunatics and ideologues for the rest of his term. 2014 ain't going to change the House because gerrymandering made it almost impossible. So, you go to the point. You say he and Nancy Pelosi had to put together what's essentially a governing coalition of Democrats and the Republicans who actually give up about, you know, governing.
Yep.
So the cherry's been popped, as you say.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. The returning to the metaphor at hand.
Right.
So the... I guess at hand, never mind. So there's now this idea that maybe we can actually, some of the moderate Republicans can walk away from the caucus and actually vote for some things. Maybe there is the possibility of putting some deals together, because he took away one of their major issues. And none of those 85 Republicans can go and run again on "I will never raise taxes."
Well, and now he made this division even clearer, right, between Eric Cantor and, I don't know, the Tea Partiers and then Boehner. I mean, it's just they're a mess. And then after that, the Hurricane Sandy thing comes up, and you've got, you know, Peter King and all the Northeastern Republicans disemboweling Boehner along with, you know, Chris Christie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a spectacle.
It is, that's one of the other fun side effects of this, is he totally exacerbated the war that the Republican Party has to have in the wake of the election.
Yeah.
You know, there was somebody who tweeted this weekend, I can't remember who it was, which blogger it was, who said he can't help but thinking that if Republicans really wanted to have a say in who the defense secretary is going to be, they probably should have run a better candidate for president.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think? I mean, obviously Republicans saying, oh, gee, this will come as a shock, but we're going to be against something that the president is for. They're saying he's going to have a tough confirmation. What do you think?
Oh, I think they're going to put up a show and then vote for him. Yeah. That's all this has to be, because that's the smart thing in nominating Hegel, is you're now nominating somebody that they have McConnell giving the speech praising him as he was leaving the Senate on what a great statesman Chuck Hagel was.
Right.
So,
right.
But because he said, you know, I'm a little more worried about some of his anti-gay and pro-torture rhetoric than I am that he said something mean about the Israel lobby.
Right. Eric Bowler, coming up at the top of the hour, he said, I think he tweeted that Bill Kristol's just grumpy that Chuck Hagel was right about Iraq.
Right.
He was wrong.
Well, but we know Bill Kristol is wrong about everything.
Right.
By the way, my favorite thing this weekend that if a Democrat had said this about a black man, it would have just been everywhere on Fox was McConnell saying that Obama's going to be dragged kicking and screaming to spending cuts.
Nice.
And I just thought, wow, you know, there's nothing that sounds better than a man with a Kentucky accent talking about dragging a black man.
Yeah, that plays well. So, Rude, quickly before we go, what do you think is going to happen with this? Because I mean, here we go again, right? The president saying I'm not doing this time, and the Republicans are saying, yeah, we're doing it.
Over the debt ceiling, I actually think that there's enough momentum to say let this one go. That again, in happy clappy mode. I mean, normally I would say they're Republicans. They're gonna do whatever they can to screw the president over and the nation over. But I think that at this point they may just let it go. Or I'm hoping Obama stands his ground so firmly as to say, maybe the 14th Amendment solution. I heard another solution this week that said that the debt ceiling is it's even beyond the 14th Amendment. The debt ceiling is simply what obligation does he have first to the debt ceiling or to the paying the actual debts,
right?
And that the safety of the nation impels him to actually pay the debts.
Yep. We'll see. I mean, Nancy Pelosi's talking about that, and we'll see how it plays out. We may end up with a $1 trillion coin and some really great movies.
I'm telling you, it's Ocean's 14. It's got to happen.
Yep.
Ocean's 14. Love you, Rudeness. See you next week.
Bye.
All right, bye. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
The sweat of the body covers me. Really? Can you, my darling,
can you picture this? Yeah, take a shower. Sweat your body. Yeah, nothing.
Oh. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Cameron in Charlotte, Jim.
Yes.
Wants to ask you, you know who else had a national database to track weapons?
Hitler?
That's right. Okay. Everyone just tries to get to that before you do. Okay. All right. The president on this whole upcoming debt ceiling debate again.
One thing I will not compromise over is whether or not Congress should pay the tab for a bill they've already racked up. If Congress refuses to give the United States the ability to pay its bills on time, the consequences for the entire global economy could be catastrophic.
And Mitch McLiplis on every Sunday show said it's a shame.
Sure, shame.
We have to use whatever leverage we have in Congress to get the president to deal with the biggest problem confronting our... It's a shame. It's a shame we have to take hostages again, but we just have to. Mitch McLiplis.
The tax issue is finished. Over. Completed. That's behind us. Now the question is, what are we going to do about the biggest problem confronting our country and our future? And that's our spending addiction. It's time to confront it. The president surely knows that. I mean, he has mentioned it both publicly and privately. The time to confront it is now.
Well, we've got to get rid of those freeloading old people.
Yes.
And sick people. I suggest
and he suggested making them into
mulch.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Sorry.
We'll save lots of money that way.
Mulch to Linus Terrarium. Of course.
Yeah, right. Sure. Tatiana in Pensacola, Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, oh, thank you so much. How are you guys?
Good.
I just want to be really, 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 really quick. And I want to say, number one, as it regard to the debt ceiling thing, the debt ceiling.
Yes.
I think that we need to support President Obama and whatever decisions that he makes, because I feel that President Obama always has the long view. And so many times we get caught up in what we want at the particular moment, and we mess ourselves up, and we have to be careful. We have to chip away at taking a house back.
Yep.
And we need to be careful with that. We may not be able to take it all back in 2014, but we can chip away, and we have to remain together, tight, cohesive, and move as one unit.
Yep, Democrat, I agree. You know, Tatiana, I was reading an analysis of what's happening right now in Congress, and we really do have this odd situation where these Tea Party, they don't really represent anybody. They don't have enough power to do anything against the president and the Senate, and they're just, seriously, just useless.
Now that the Koch brothers and the army have stopped, lavishing money on them.
Right.
Yeah,
but they're so
they realized that it was a poor investment.
Uh-huh. Right, but they're so out of step with what most Americans want that it really...
But there's still just enough of them for them to hold sway over the Republican Party and cause disarray.
To make John Boehner have to go in his office on a daily basis and do his cartoon drinking.
I'm out of bourbon again! I have to go back to the tavern.
Lisa in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi there.
Hi.
McConnell doesn't understand that it's he and his buddies brought a wrecked, total, damaged car into the garage, and Obama's just a mechanic, and he's trying to fix it, and it's like they keep coming back to the garage, yelling at him for what happened to their car or whatever. It makes no sense. But my comment is about McCain and Lindsey Graham. I'm so sick of them being disrespectful about the president. They were complaining on C-SPAN, and McCain said something I found very offensive as a Democrat. When he was complaining, of course, about Obama, he mentioned that Obama's crowd was cheering and clapping for him. And he said all those activists were cheering for him. He needs to wake up and realize that most of America, I guess we're all activists then, and the 50% that are Republicans still just don't know that they shouldn't be. They've been tricked into believing the brainwashing. So, they consider themselves Republican. Once they find out, the facts, I think there won't be much left of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
I'm sick of the founding fathers. Nobody in America relates to the founding fathers. Nobody's related to them. We're all immigrants. All they are is slaveholders, and anybody who, thinks they're wonderful or wants to follow the founding fathers, they're stuck in the 1700s. So that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, all right. Oof. Thank you. Oh.
I don't think all of them were slave owners.
No. That was a little bit of a broad brush.
Yeah. They're all idiots. Founding fathers. Founding uncles, maybe.
Stupids. Okay.
Stupid.
Kimberly in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Pull my finger.
Hi.
Thomas Jefferson said.
Yeah. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I just want to give a comment on the guns. I noticed that all they do is kill people with these semi-automatics. I never see a wildlife come and say that they have 60 deers dead or 100 quails. I always hear that it's human lives taken by these semi-auto weapons. Now it's babies. Mm-hmm. When are they going to wake up?
Yep.
That's what's my comment.
Well, they want to arm the babies.
Exactly. All right. Mitch McConnell. I just could not get enough of him. He was everywhere yesterday.
Good boy.
Well, it's time to face up to the fact that our nation is in grave fiscal danger. Grave fiscal danger. And that it has everything to do with spending.
Well, that's where I would hold the whole country hostage until it meets my demands.
Democrats said further taxing increases for the wealthiest were still possible as Congress looks to get. You can't, we aren't going to be able to get to the kind of revenue we need. Democrats point out Obama has already agreed to significant spending cuts, and the latest deal only gets the nation to about half the revenue it needs to resolve the red ink. Dick Durbin said, trust me, there's plenty of things within that tax code, loopholes where people can park their money in some island offshore, and not pay taxes. These are things that need to be closed. We can do that and use the money to reduce the deficit.
And
so,
Social Security is not the problem.
Right.
It's something we paid into. And if they just lift the cap, it's solvent for,
thank you.
Foreseeable future.
Thank you. Mitch McLiplis, here's
well, I wish the president would lead us in this discussion rather than putting himself in a position of having to be dragged, kicking and screaming to the table to discuss the single biggest issue confronting our future.
Yeah, Root is right. That was probably some unfortunate imagery from a white guy from Kentucky.
Sure. Perhaps we should put him on some kind of boat.
Okay. McConnell was asked repeatedly whether Republicans were prepared to see the nation default on its spending obligations. He said that wouldn't be necessary so long as Obama agrees to the spending cuts. Oh, I see. Well, that's generally what you say in a hostage crisis. Mm. We don't want to shoot the hostages. All you need to do is agree to our demands. What's so hard to understand about that? All right. Eric Waller with some great stuff, as usual, and White Ring World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Monday, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, check it out. Get those last remaining tickets for January 19th. It's in when is it? Not this Saturday, next Saturday.
Yeah.
Inauguration weekend, and the tickets are going very, very quickly. Sexy Liberalpalooza, everybody. Hal, John, Aisha, Chris, Jim, Jackie, opening the show. Two huge surprise celebrity guests. Get it and go. All right. It is Monday, which is one of my favorite days for one reason. Eric Bowler from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bowler.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bowler.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bowler from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bowler.
Good morning, Eric Bowler. Good morning, Eric Bowler.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I was talking about your tweet earlier about, I assume Bill Kristol's furious at Hagel for being right about the Iraq war. That's probably what that's all about, right?
Well, there's something very depressing about how the press automatically takes, you know, neocons and Iraq war proponents seriously. So the people right. who got everything wrong about the Iraq war don't like Chuck Hagel, so we all have to sit up and pay attention to Bill Kristol. As I tweeted this morning, you know, remind me again why I care who Bill Kristol thinks should be Obama's Secretary of
right.
Defense.
Well, and plus it's so easy to suss out the hypocrisy. You can go back and, you know, do Guess the Quote with John McCain and, you know, Mitch McConnell back when he literally, you know, when it's something Obama wants, they're against it. I mean,
I mean, you know, if for whatever odd reason Bush had nominated Hagel to be his cabinet, you know, Secretary of Defense, whatever, he would have gotten every Republican vote. I'm absolutely assured of that.
Yeah.
But Obama nominates him and all. You know, here we have the Republican Party, which is going to use up its few remaining resources to oppose
a Republican,
a Republican yeah. Vietnam vet from Nebraska to be Secretary of Defense. I mean, we are in bizarro world at this point.
And here's John McCain in 2006. I'd be honored to have Chuck with me in any capacity. He'd make a great Secretary of State.
Wow.
I mean, it's incredible.
It's really amazing. And the other thing that kind of bothers me is, right, so the press has been knocking Obama, you know, why hasn't he changed the tone of Washington? You know, why hasn't he single-handedly ended, you know, partisan gridlock? You know, now he goes out of his way to make what I think is probably the most high-profile, across-the-aisle cabinet nominee in modern American history. Maybe, you know, maybe I'm missing something obvious, but, I mean, and I don't think Powell really counted. I mean, I think he was always a Republican. So here he goes out of his way to make this really bold, I'm going to, you know, nominate someone from the other party, and he's just getting completely hammered, not only by Republicans, but most of the Beltway press.
Yep.
Oh, you know, why is Obama wasting time with Chuck Hagel? Oh, you know, Hagel's got all kinds of problems. No one will even acknowledge that, oh, gee, this is Barack Obama trying to change the tone in Washington, and he's being met once again by these radical Republicans who will oppose anything he says.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's almost like Obama's using this as a test case. I mean, I think he really wants Hagel to be Secretary of Defense. I don't think he's playing games or anything, but you could almost use this as a test case.
Mm-hmm.
Let's nominate a respected Republican Vietnam from the Midwest, and let's just see what the Republican Party does, and let's see if they will prove our thesis that they are basically insane.
It's like a political Folgers commercial. By the way, speaking of sussing out hypocrisy, your tweet about, oh my God, Fox Loonies unloaded again on Gore today for, being unable to resist the urge to make a lot of money, i.e. capitalism is bad. I've said this, over and over again, that we learned this with the Sexy Liberal Tour. There's nothing that makes them crazy than liberals succeeding at capitalism. It makes them insane.
It's just not right.
It really does. I mean, there was a Breitbart blogger who was attacking Gore for the sale of Current. He made $100 million that, quote, the blogger said he didn't really need. Right. So when was the last time any...
They said this on Fox News, owned by a foreigner, Rupert Murdoch, and also a Saudi prince.
Yeah, right, the Saudi prince part has been completely forgotten. When was the last time any right-wing bloggers posted by Exxon doesn't really need that extra $100 billion in profits? And what's wrong with these people? They really do. You know, capitalism is supposed to be their sandbox. And so when a Democrat succeeds or a liberal or progressive, you know, they kind of freak out.
Why does Al Gore hate sandboxes?
Yeah, I think our friend John Fugelsang snuck on Fox News a couple times, and just them having to say Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, number one comedy tour in the country, made them just, and by the way, I loved your piece, The Return of the Clinton Crazies, because this has to be a new low. The fact that they are, like, outwardly mocking and laughing at what is clearly a serious health issue for Secretary Clinton, right?
Yeah, this was twofold. So, you know, Hillary Clinton wasn't able to testify about Benghazi because, you know, she caught, you know, a virus, became dehydrated, fainted, and suffered a concussion. So first, the right-wing crazies she's faking it. She's a Clinton. She must be lying. Where's the medical report? You know, just really unseemly stuff. But then it morphed into, this is a big joke. You know, Bill O'Reilly couldn't stop laughing when Laura Ingraham went on and called it the immaculate concussion. All the people, Dana Perino was laughing out loud because her co-hosts on the Five were making Hillary head trauma jokes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we sort of saw that, you know, like, God, that's just awful. But then the blood clot news comes along, you know, something that, you know, in theory is potentially life-threatening, and it really highlights, like, I mean, honestly, I mean, what if something incredibly bad had happened to Hillary Clinton, and they were, like, laughing about her health? I mean, this is... So the Clinton crazies, if people might have not forgotten or weren't paying attention in the 90s, right, they made their trademark for making just wildly hateful, incredibly personal attacks on the Clinton. It was Obama derangement syndrome before there was Obama derangement syndrome. You know, it wasn't just they were bad people and they were liberal. They were killing people. They were running drugs.
Yep.
It was really – but back then, really, they just had fax machines and sort of CBs.
Right. I was going to say we've been so distracted by Obama derangement syndrome, we've totally forgotten about Clinton derangement syndrome. It's bad.
And
particularly
with
obviously the speculation with her leaving and running for president.
Yes.
Here she is, you know, in the crosshairs again, right?
Right. So she's coming back to more of a high-profile position in terms of American domestic politics. And so this is a preview. And, yes, I think there's something incredibly unseemly and disgusting with sort of these mostly right-wing men laughing about the health of a 65-year-old woman. I mean, woman. I mean, this is a soulless movement, increasingly.
Yep, absolutely. Let's dive into the right-wing world and get some more, shall we? Here we go. Rush Limbaugh on the president.
Obama's number one objective, well, it's hard to say number one, but in his top five, is to erase all vestiges of the Reagan years, to have an entire and total, complete revision of the history of the Reagan years. The Democrats are bothered by that as much as anything in American history bothers them. The success of the Reagan years. A big threat. The success of the Reagan years was one of the biggest threats the Democrats ever faced.
Yeah, I think economists can all agree, Eric, that trickle-down economics, wildly successful under any what? No.
For billionaires.
Russia's have been having a tough year so far. I don't know what's going on. You could hear it in his comments there. He seems to be out of it. I mean, he's talking about the Reagan years. He seems to be almost half asleep when he's talking. He hasn't had anything interesting to say about the, you know, the budget negotiations or anything. It's kind of weird. He came back from the New Year, and he seems to be kind of completely out of it. Hmm. He hasn't been the player that he was, you know, in the last couple months or the last years. I'm just curious. We'll see if it changes.
I notice he's over-modulating on the microphone. Maybe his hearing is going again.
Oh, dear. Well, he's, yeah, I mean, I think it's a symbol, though, Eric, of how what kind of disarray the Republican Party is in. It's just, you know, I don't think it's so rudderless, right? You have the Eric Cantor, the Tea Party Republicans fighting Boehner and whatever kind of even semi-reasonable Republicans. You have Christie and all the Northeastern Republicans criticizing the other. I mean, it's a mess right now.
It is a mess. And traditionally when there's been these vacuums, this is where the right-wing media has rushed in. This is where Limbaugh has come in and Fox News. And, you know, particularly after McCain got beat so badly, they rushed in and said, we will be the conservative movement. You guys, you know, do whatever you do in Congress, which isn't much in terms of the Republicans. But now it's far worse than it was 4 years ago. You know, the Sandy debacle, Boehner not even being able to pass, you know, Plan B, and then, you know, and sort of falling down in terms of the negotiations with the White House. But yeah.
And they're put in the position of having to defend the indefensible. As you were saying, Michelle Malkin had to defend Boehner or say it had nothing to do with him. It wasn't his fault that Hurricane Sandy wasn't, you know, relief wasn't brought to a vote. What?
It was Obama's fault. Oh, yeah, no.
Right.
We're seeing more and more of this. Obama now basically controls the Republican Party.
Right.
So when they do something stupid or they don't do anything at all, it's not their fault. It's Obama's fault.
Yep.
And I guess maybe that's going to be their fallback for the next 4 years. The Republican Party no longer has, you know, has any destiny in its own hands. Obama runs everything. It's kind of weird.
And here is Charles Krauthammer defending poor John Boehner.
I think what Boehner did in postponing the vote until today was absolutely right. That was a rape of the Treasury.
Huh?
$60 billion,
what?
Including a ton of pork. The part that was essential was what passed today, which was to replenish the flood insurance. That's right, and the rest ought to be debated in regular order.
Interesting, because 10 days after Katrina hit,
yes,
Bush signed emergency funds passed by the Republican White House. I went back and I was looking recently. There wasn't a peep from Fox News.
Right.
There was not a peep from Charles Krauthammer or anyone at Fox News in those 10 days talking about a rape of the Treasury. Is that what he called?
Yes,
you know, helping
disaster
people in New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pleasant term.
And, you know,
that's
Robert,
a legitimate rape.
Robert Andrews, the congressman from Jersey, was on, Eric, on Friday, and he put it in such starkly, like, human terms about that there is a guy on the boardwalk that just lost his business. He will not get the funds now in time to open
for the summer
this year.
Yeah.
So that guy may lose his house. I don't know how he's feeding his kids. I mean, this has real consequences.
Yeah, I think it was Cavuto. There were other people on Fox last week, and a couple of conservative journalists. Oh, there was someone at the National Review last week saying, "Hey, let's just slow down. There's no rush.
Right.
There's no rush.
Who needs a roof in the east?
Methodically.
Right.
Like, what were you doing for the last 10 weeks?" You know, like I said, you know, Katrina 10 days. I think Irene was like 18 or 19 days.
Right.
There is no precedent in modern American history for emergency relief, an event even approaching the size of Sandy, taking 10 weeks. And then at the 10 week marks, you know, people like Krauthammer are saying, oh, let's debate this, you know.
Yeah,
and it
occurs to me, Eric, that's why they put the word emergency in the title,
yeah,
because that's what it
is. You know, Chris Christie and New York and New Jersey delegations were begging Republicans to debate this for 10 weeks, and
yep,
they just sat on it and sat on it.
Yep,
absolutely.
And when
the Republican House, after Katrina, wanted to pass $60 billion, the exact same amount, which is amazing, you know, Fox News didn't say boo.
Yep, exactly. All right, Eric Bolet remains in the sidecar. We continue Right Wing World after this on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, God. That feels weird and good all at once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Stephanie Miller.
The Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, we continue Right Wing World with Eric Bohler from Media Matters. Greg Gutfeld on the 5. Oh, here we go. It's more of the Clinton derangement syndrome.
So Hillary Clinton's back and ready to go. Good. I hope for her sake, her family's sake, our government's sake, that she recovers fully, especially given the shroud of mystery over all things Benghazi, because it's really about that secrecy and the media contorting itself in every way to let it happen. So why is it shameful to wonder what's wrong with the head of our State Department when she suddenly vanishes in the wake of her department's biggest scandal?
Why is
everything related to Benghazi a soup of secrecy? And what about journalists ginning up fake hatred or outrage towards skeptics? Thankfully, Hillary's okay. But skepticism, that's on life support. Yet the media has traded it in for simpering fandom.
Wow, the first part of that sounded so sincere, didn't it, Eric?
I know. What 12th grader wrote that for him?
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
So we were just being skeptical. See, when you make from Greg Gutfeld, who made jokes about her head trauma on national TV.
Yeah.
Right.
See, they don't have the guts to admit they did what they did. We were just being skeptical. We were just being journalists. Greg Gutfeld, a journalist. That's right. So they don't have the guts to admit what they did, which was they went on TV and they laughed at her concussion. Not only did they say she made it up, then they laughed about it because it's a big joke when a 65-year-old woman suffers head trauma. That's what you did, Greg Gutfeld.
Mm-hmm.
Have the nerve to address it. Don't lecture people about skepticism.
Yeah, by the way, there was no apology in there.
Nope. No,
all right.
Like I said, we're looking at it, this sort of increasingly soulless, political mm-hmm. movement.
Andrea Tantaros and Greg Gutfeld.
Oh, great.
Well, it was an historic day in Washington yesterday as 20 women were sworn into the U.S. Senate. That's a record number. But is there something about being a woman that makes them superior lawmakers?
Women getting along well is the longest running lie in the history of the world that women are consensus builders? Baloney. Okay, does anybody watch The View? Do you want your government run by The View?
Wow. There's so much outright racism on that show that you forget about the sexism sometimes.
Especially with women sitting on the panel.
Yes.
Yeah. Gutfeld has expressed his confused feelings about women for years on that show.
Don't call me a misogynist, you dumb bitch.
Well then, Jim.
All right. Lou Dobbs on Fox Business Channel.
Public schools are extraordinarily vulnerable. Amongst the laws that are being introduced now in Washington are, in one instance, is a law to ban a gun-free zone designation for public schools, which, as we look at what happened in Sandy Hook, it makes all the sense in the world.
It's just, this story in the Post yesterday, Eric. I mean, here we go. We're gonna be up against the forces of more guns is always a solution, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you go back to Virginia Tech, I mean, what did we see after Virginia Tech? There was that organized effort by the NRAs to start passing legislation in these states. Let's have guns on campus. And I don't know if you saw the article last year. Colorado is one of the, states that did it. And there was a couple of universities that embraced it. And I'm absolutely sure I read this article where the dorm where you can carry guns is basically empty because no one wants to live there.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
So
why would you want to go to college and be with, your dorm up and down the hall? Everyone's got guns. I mean, it's crazy. But that, after Virginia Tech, after all these, that is sort of covered as the gun debate. Oh, should we have more guns at schools or things like that? It's a good example of the NRA completely skews the mainstream conversation.
Yep. All right. And Bill O'Reilly, is he still parsing the Mitt Romney?
Yeah.
Results?
35% of the Hawaiian population is Asian.
Right.
And Asian people are not liberal, by nature. They're usually more industrious and hardworking.
Oh, so liberal people aren't industrious or hardworking.
No.
And all Asian people are exactly alike.
Yes.
God.
You were saying O'Reilly's still, analyzing the Mitt Romney loss. Mitt Romney's not even analyzing the Mitt Romney loss. I mean, he didn't care 3 days after.
Yeah, that's true.
It's funny.
And according to Tag,
people like Bill O'Reilly are still trying to, figure out, read the tea leaves. You know, Bill, he lost by 150 electoral votes.
Exactly. Eric Bowler, great stuff. Talk to you next week.
Okay.
All right, there he goes. Eric Bowler from Media Matters, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, with Alan Grayson.
Apparently, being
Stephanie Miller
involves more than just two arms, two legs, and the occasional major orifice.
Enough about my weekend.
What? I didn't know John Lithgow was your boyfriend.
What? Yeah, yeah. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Oh, it's so exciting. Did I say former and future? Is that what I said?
It's not former future, it's current.
Yeah, hello.
And now it's time for Congressman Alan Grayson and your chance to...
We never changed it.
The Grayson.
We knew we wouldn't have to.
Good morning, current... Good
morning. How about fashionable?
Yeah.
Former and fashionable.
Good morning, sir.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How was the big fancy becoming a congressman again ceremony?
I managed to get through it. I had to say I do or something like that.
Yeah, that's, you know.
Awesome.
I had to take some kind of oath.
Boy, and you're back just in time to see a Republican Party in really kind of historical disarray, aren't they?
Oh, yes, right. They're divided between the far right and the extreme right.
You know, and these days we could be doing Guess the Quote, where you would guess Alan Grayson, and it tends to be a Republican, whether it's Chris Christie or, you know, Peter King. I love, what's his name, D'Amato, Senator Al D'Amato. He said of the Republicans in Congress, they're a bunch of jackasses.
I
would have guessed Alan Grayson.
I think I'd come up with something a little more eloquent than that, don't
yes.
you think? A little elegant, eloquent, something a little better than that. Not quite as fun, a little more metaphorical.
Right, right. But, I mean, the New York Daily News just ran this piece with the 67 Republicans who voted against Sandy Aid. I mean, it's hard to keep using the word unprecedented, but it really is true.
Well, it's the same 67 over and over again. It's the bath salts caucus. You know, the people would rather eat your face than cut taxes on the rich.
You know, the zombie caucus. Yeah.
The zombie caucus. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so what is good? I can't believe you're back in time. It must just feel like a flashback for the debt ceiling debate. How is this going to
well,
work?
Well, no, it's worse. It's far worse. I mean, when I was in,
yes.
I'm not talking about prison. I'm talking about
yes.
Congress.
Right.
When I was in, we got stuff done. You know, things came up. We took care of them. We went on to the next thing. Now it's just hopeless. It's just a complete morass.
Yep.
Everyone is held hostage by those 67.
Well, and
whole
here's
country.
And here's, you know, on Meet the Press yesterday, let's see, Mitch McConnell was asked whether they were going to hold the debt ceiling ransom in exchange for spending cuts. McConnell said it's a shame we have to use whatever leverage we have to get the president's attention. I mean, it's just, I mean, it's incredible, right?
Why doesn't he return his call? That's one way to get his attention.
Yeah, there's that. Lindsey Graham did not dismiss the idea of allowing a partial shutdown of the government until an agreement can be reached. John Cornyn, I don't know if you read his op-ed, said the same thing. They floated the idea of a shutdown as a way to win deeper spending cuts.
And spending cuts on what? On what? On Social Security benefits and Medicare benefits. It always seems to come back to that.
Right.
The Social Security system, which has been operated at a profit every single year since it was created. The Medicare system, which is solvent for at least another 8 years, and then beyond that would pay out 90% of the current benefit levels. And somehow they need to be cut. They claim they want to save these things when, in fact, they just want to destroy them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, Chris Van Hollen, our friend and your colleague, said, you know, the Republican strategy amounts to give us what we want or we're going to tank the United States economy. What? So, you know, and obviously the president...
And the sequester strategy is the same thing. You know, they're cutting air traffic control
yeah,
by 9%.
Great. Fantastic.
Air traffic
what could
control?
Go wrong?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Morons. We have to burn the country in order to save it.
Yeah.
Right, the Mili approach to governance.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you see this? How do you see this playing out this time?
Oh, the same. You know, the same thing's going to happen. It's happened 9 times already when I was on my unpaid 2-year vacation, courtesy of the voters. It always comes down to the same thing. Boehner finds some excuse to put something up for a vote, and then it passes with Democratic votes. That's what seems to happen over and over and over again.
Yeah.
They called it the Hastert rule. The Hastert rule was you never put anything up for a vote unless the majority of your caucus believes in it. And Boehner has had to violate that rule over and over and over again. Otherwise, the government would simply collapse.
Right. Right.
So, the same thing will happen again.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, and it's hard to say. I mean, you know, you've got obviously people putting forth the same arguments they put forward last time. Chuck Schumer said, I think risking government shutdown, risking not raising the debt ceiling is playing with fire. Anyone wants to come and negotiate and say we'll raise the debt ceiling if you do A, B, and C, we'll not have a negotiating partner. And if they don't want to raise the debt ceiling, it'll be on their shoulders. So, I mean, but again, Nancy Pelosi's floating already the 14th Amendment. How do you think this is actually going to play out?
Well, what's going to happen, I think, is that the other side's paymasters on Wall Street are going to make their desires clear, which is to avoid a further cut in the value of Treasury debt as a result of the rating agencies. So I think what's going to happen is the Wall Street people are going to say to Boehner, look, you work for us, and we're telling you we want to vote. And that regardless of how many of your people vote for it, we know we can get it passed with Democratic votes. That's the way it's got to be.
I have to say, I think Hagel is a fairly brilliant political move by the president because suddenly all the Republicans are against him.
Never
anything. I mean, you know, he could have picked Jesus. And
I hear he might be a Jew.
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking to Eric Bollard about, I mean, it just... Here we go again Secretary of State Clinton is back today, but they have spent like just this unbelievably like this vicious news cycle attacking her for faking what is clearly a serious injury.
Well, what it comes down to is that they have no business even giving their input. Okay, I mean the Senate has the right to advise and consent, and that's it. A majority of the Senate is Democrats. That should be the end of the story. Now we've got these bizarre rules about filibustering and holds and so on. It's been 6 years, by the way, since the Republicans allowed someone to head the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Six years since they allowed anybody to get into that position, and they seem to think that they don't have to pay any sort of price for the stalling and butting in. The president should be able to have the advisors who generally speaking, who the president wants, unless they've committed a felony.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, by the way, where does it stand, filibuster reform? There's two different proposals, right?
Well, yes. I mean, one proposal, which Harry Reid seems to be strongly in favor of, is now you get two different filibusters on every bill. Every bill that comes up, you get the filibuster whether it's called to the floor, and then you get to filibuster the bill itself. And people don't seem to have to pay any price for filibustering the call to the floor because they're saying, well, this just isn't the best time. Let's deal with it next week.
Mm-hmm.
So they filibuster the call to the floor, and then they filibuster the bill. And Harry Reid says, no, that's absurd. You can filibuster the bill, but not the call to the floor. And the second proposal, which seems to have a substantial support, is that if you want to filibuster, you have to get up there and keep talking.
And do it. Yeah, that's the Jeff Merkley one, I believe.
Right. Now, there's a problem with that, which is that if you actually do that, then nothing else can go to the floor. And that's one reason why Reid's been reluctant to institute that rule over the years. That means that when you're not just filibustering that bill, you're filibustering all of the Senate's business. And that is potentially problematic. So it could be that the cure will be worse than the disease. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yep. So you come back in your triumphant return to Congress, Alan Grayson.
Back in the saddle again.
Healthcare warrior that you are, and the very first thing that Michelle Bachmann does... It's put up forth a bill to repeal Obamacare for the 34th time
something
now?
Like that, yeah.
Actually, the second thing she did.
Oh?
The first thing she did was, in some respects, even more interesting than that. I don't know if you noticed this, but when they reached the end of the roll call, Boehner needed 218 votes to be Speaker, and he was stuck at 216.
Right.
And the reason for that is that some Republicans had voted for people other than Boehner.
Right, Alan
and
West.
And other Republicans.
Your
right.
former colleague, Alan West.
Right. And possibly, I'm hoping, the last time we'll ever hear that name.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yes.
Hopefully. But other Republicans had just ducked the vote, just that, like, they didn't vote. They were either out of the room or they kept quiet or they just didn't respond. So Boffin was one of those. And at the end of the roll call, Boehner was short the votes because you don't need more than Pelosi. You need 218. You need a majority of the members of the House.
Right.
So 218 out of 435. So there was some kind of odd give and take, let us say, between Boehner's people and Boffin. And she was dragged in and forced to say the word Boehner in order to get him to 217.
Wow.
And then Marsha Blackburn, another holdout, was also, I slapped around and got him to 218. And that's what they needed to do. They needed to do something or other with Bachman in order to get her vote. That's how. But then that's actually the first thing she did. The second thing she did was introduce the repeal bill.
You're having entirely too much fun. There's no laughing in Congress. No laughing. There's no fun. All right. Former and future, I love you. So happy
former
you are.
And future?
I meant he was formerly former and future. He is now
that
current.
Was current.
Okay. Congressman of the great state of Florida,
yes. Just
Alan
call
Grayson.
Me frequent.
Love you. Talk to you soon, honey.
Frequent familiar.
Okay, yes. Bye. Love you. Bye. Very
good. Frequent and familiar, Congressman. I love that.
Exactly. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Can we absolutely positively guarantee that it would give me an orgasm?
Yeah.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Steffi. Steffi.
Steffi. Uh-huh. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, dear. The 19-year-old son of Senator Rand Paul.
Yes.
And Ron Paul's grandson arrested Saturday morning for being intoxicated at Charlotte Douglas International Airport.
Wait, intoxicated? How old
Which,
is
by
he?
By the way, I don't mean to judge. I have frequently been intoxicated at Charlotte Airport because that's where my Republican family lives.
Oh, yes. How old was he when he was intoxicated?
19.
Oh, that seems to be doubly wrong.
You're not the boss of me. I think that's a follow the rules.
Paul said he, when he arrived at the airport,
the
that he was
fugs.
He was possibly served alcohol on the flight. Did you think? I'm not sure how else he would have been intoxicated when he got to the airport.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
In Europe, you can drink when you're 18. What? Officially.
Well,
but he wasn't in Europe.
Maybe he was transporting little tiny liquor bottles for John Boehner.
Sure. Anything's possible.
Beef up his collection.
One more. More. You see, this is too small.
By the way, Jim, who said, I need this job like I need a hole in the head?
Oh,
who said that?
God.
John Boehner.
Yes. Oh, that was your answer.
Okay.
That's right, yeah.
Well, you kind of did the impression while you were saying
Sorry.
It, Steph.
Well, you know, I'm just trying to be a helper because he's really bad at this.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, he said that to the Wall Street Journal.
I need this job like a hole in the head. But I really need is more bourbon.
Oh, boy. Paul in Philadelphia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Paul.
Good morning, guys.
Hello.
Hi. I was just listening to your show. I'm happy to be following Eric Bollert and Alan Grayson. I'm big
yes.
fans of both of these guys.
Yeah.
I think that the Democrats need to take back the language of the debate we got going on here again and stop being pushed around by Mitch McTurtle, because the biggest problem we have in this country is not a spending problem. It's that 25 million people are out of work.
Yep.
And that would actually add to our, you know, to our revenues. And the more they get paid and they get paychecks, the more money they put into the economy, which means more people have to be hired, which means more people are paying taxes, which means blah, 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 blah. There goes our deficit problem.
Of course, the main problem is these so-called job creators are sending jobs to China,
yes.
exporting slavery.
There's also any number of ways we could stop that from happening. Take our tax incentives away for shipping jobs overseas. Put a value-added tax on all our imports to put us on a level playing field with the
yep.
rest of the world when
mm-hmm.
it comes to job creation.
Yep.
So,
yep. Absolutely.
We definitely have to. get that into our lawmakers' minds that they need to push back and say, our biggest problem is not that we have a spending problem, it's that we have people like me, who my only job right now is cleaning the ceiling fan in my kitchen and running the dishwasher instead of out there putting pipes together, which is what I normally do for a living.
But at least you have a clean ceiling fan.
Yeah, that's true. If you have time to notice what's on your ceiling fan, you're right. It's time to...
You know what you do? You just never turn the ceiling fan off so you don't notice the dust.
Right. It's like a windstorm in Kansas when you turn it on. What's happening? It's a dust bowl in here. Rag in Los Angeles. Is that your actual name, Rag?
No, Raj.
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 Oh,
yeah.
T-Bone's drunk again. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Raj.
Yeah, Obama is very smart. You know, nowadays he picks these appointees for Secretary Chuck Hagel. They make the Republicans fight among themselves in fighting, and that will make them weaker for 2014 election, 2016. So it's like a self-inflicting wound for them.
I think you're enjoying that a little too much. That's making him downright chuckly. Yes, in case you hadn't heard the news, former Nebraska Senator Chuck Hagel, Republican.
Yep.
He's a Republican the Republicans don't like anymore. It's weird. For Defense Secretary, he backed the Iraq War, but later became a fierce and credible critic of the Bush administration's war policies. He supported the Afghanistan war resolution, but over time has become more critical of the decades-old conflict. He's often seen the Afghan war through the lens of his service in Vietnam. Hagel has declared militaries are built to fight and win wars, not bind together failing nations. He spoke broadly of the need for greater diplomacy and the appropriate path in Afghanistan, noting the American people want out of the war, which is true. The president yesterday.
My number one criteria will be who's going to do the best job in helping to secure America. I've served with Chuck Hagel. I know him. He's a patriot.
Lindsey Graham said that Hagel would be the most antagonistic Secretary of Defense toward the state of Israel in our nation's history.
Oh, jeez. Really?
Oh, you know why? Because Hagel has criticized a discussion of a military strike by either the U.S. or Israel against Iran.
Yeah.
So, see, that makes you right away.
Starting
an
World
Israel,
War III,
an Israel
bad
hater.
Idea. Yeah. God.
Yes.
Morons.
He also has backed efforts to bring Iran to the table for talks on future peace in Afghanistan.
Which makes
and
sense.
In 2008, he criticized Sarah Palin, saying she lacked foreign policy credentials.
Yeah. What?
And it would be a stretch to consider her qualified to be president? What?
What? Who the hell
does he think he is?
But it turns out it was a stretch for her to be considered qualified for vice president.
I don't.
Or anything.
Or anything, for
who
that
said
matter.
In
I quit.
2006. I'd be honored to have Chuck with me in any capacity. He'd make a great Secretary of State. Who said that?
Norman Rockwell.
No, John McCain said that. Yesterday he said he's not really even a Republican by his standards, which are new, apparently. Jim, who said Hagel was a respected leader in America who served his country admirably with honor and distinction?
Sarah Palin.
No. That was also John McCain.
Interesting.
When
did that change?
Who said Chuck Hagel has a clear voice on foreign policy and national security and has stature as a leading voice in foreign affairs? Who said that?
John McClain. Yippee-ki-yay.
No. Senator Mitch McConnell said that previously about Chuck Hagel.
Interesting.
Who said Hagel understands the world better than almost anyone? Who said that?
Some hypocrite.
Right. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. No, nothing. Yes, it's the yes button. That would be Senator Lamar Alexander, Republican of Tennessee, who seemed to have a different feeling about him at some previous point. Senator Dick Durbin yesterday.
A person who has a resume that includes service on the Foreign Relations Committee as well as the Intelligence Committee. Yes, he is a serious candidate.
Just a little.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Howard in Pittsburgh. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Howard.
Good morning. Yes, I'm 71 years old. I'm originally from upstate New York, Utica, New York.
Utica, but all right.
I was fortunate to meet Robert Francis Kennedy, and I worked for the airline up there, and we worked on the Kennedy airplane.
Oh, wow.
But one thing I've noticed about the Kennedys and Martin Luther King is that they had a word that, to me, as a progressive Democrat, is empathy. And I find that I think the Republicans understood that word empathy at one point in time, but I think after Reagan came in, they've learned to forget what empathy
That's right.
Means,
you know, Howard, somebody said it best, they called during the campaign. They kept saying that everyone said, oh, everybody just doesn't like Mitt Romney because he's rich. And they were saying, no, everybody knew the Kennedys were rich.
Right.
It's just
right.
that you had a feeling they cared about people that weren't, whereas you just don't. Obviously, people didn't have that feeling with
Romney. You know who else did? George Romney.
That's right.
Right.
And you know what? Speaking of Kennedys,
yes.
we have a couple of them on tomorrow's show.
Yay. What?
We have Christopher Kennedy Lawford and Congressman Patrick Kennedy calling in.
We're all Kennedy'd up tomorrow.
We are.
How weird is that? That you would just say the thing, and then tomorrow, just like magic.
See? I know how to tease.
You must have snuck away to broadcast school over the weekend.
I did.
All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Yeah. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Kids, it is going to be the show of all shows for inauguration weekend, January 19th. Get it?
It's a new year and time for a new inauguration.
And the President of the United States is once again Barack Obama.
Time for a new sexy liberal.
All right, sir, I guess I'll just have to speak to the people of my state from right here.
No, a new sexy liberal show.
January 19th. Inauguration weekend in our nation's capital at the Warner Theater, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour makes its 2013 debut.
We have serious problems to solve, and we need serious people to solve.
Featuring Hal Sparks.
I have a lot of liberal friends who love this country enough to vote almost every other election. And
John Fugelsang.
Cable news, it should be called the stuff they air between Viagra and Cialis ads.
Aisha Tyler.
Get down more bourbon, bitch, I'm thirsty.
And the queen of progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller.
Oh, you dirty sleazy, sexy liberals. God bless you.
The long-awaited Washington, D.C. Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at the Warner Theater, January 19th.
All right. Yeah. By the way, we laugh every time
every
about
time.
The bourbon line.
Yeah.
And
Aisha's bourbon line.
We have no idea what it's about. It doesn't matter. Send down more bourbon bitches, I'm thirsty.
Maybe she's just quoting John Boner.
It probably
the
is.
Way she says it is funny.
It doesn't matter what she says. It's just funny.
It is. She's a fanboy.
Right?
Yeah.
Every time she's on the show, she says something that ends up on a T-shirt.
It does.
Eat my gravel soup, bitches. I don't know what it means. It's just
boogity
funny.
Boogity cheese.
Boogity, boogity, boogity cheese. The president smells like cookies and freedom.
That was a meme.
Right? People showed up in the New York Sexy Liberal with T-shirts saying cookies and freedom, bitches. Okay. All right. So, a love letter for me, too. I don't get Aisha's volume of love mail. But John in San Francisco, post-traumatic Steph disorder.
Uh-oh.
Some people suffering. Steph, thanks to you and the crew on Current, I've become a hopeless Stephaholic. Is there a rehab program in the works?
No. Computer says no.
Us viewers are spoiled now with the visual candy. Don't worry. We'll find a way to keep the visual candy coming. We're working on it.
Yeah, we're...
Don't you worry.
Wear your pretty little heads.
Wear your pretty little heads. In the meantime, I'm not just a woman and a dessert topping. I'm an app.
You are an app.
Right? Okay, I hope you know the answer to this.
What?
Because I don't.
Oh, Lord.
JB has a question about, I didn't even know what an app is, really.
Well, you have the menu reading app for grandma. That's your only app.
Right, the big flashlight for grandma to see things.
And it's a magnifying glass, too, isn't it?
No.
No?
It's a dessert topping.
I wish I'd known how to get that one.
I can find it for
really?
You. Yeah.
I only have the light. I need that, too.
It uses the camera to magnify the text
Right. I need the giant Colonel Clink eye with a light.
Oh, bless your heart.
Organ?
Bless your heart. JB says, Steph, I can't install your new app because I don't have iOS 5 on my 3G iPhone.
I wrote her back.
Steph's age. I don't know how to do this. Any suggestions? I want the app.
Okay.
Help!
If you have a 3G iPhone, that's... quite a few years old.
And I have a 3G.
I have a rotary phone. Why can't I get the app?
It can't handle iOS 4 or higher. So, and that's what this app is written for. It's written for more advanced copies of iOS. And so, unfortunately, she's going to have to upgrade her phone at least an iPhone 4.
Yeah. I have the 4 because I went to get the 5. Yeah. And you know what? You just can't.
Computer says
you can now.
They make it impossible. Well, it's a whole thing.
We used to wear apps on our belt.
What's the thing you have to go
through?
It was
the style at the time.
That was the style at the time. I used to wear my apps on my belt next to my onion.
What's the thing you have to go through? I might be able to help you here.
No, you have a contract.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're not due for an upgrade yet. And
well,
then
you're
if you get that, you can't have the same plan that you, I don't, with the data or something. I don't.
Oh, your grandfather did with unlimited data?
I don't, yes.
Oh, keep that.
Right. And then you need
but
a new
plug.
But you
don't use data.
You need a new plug if you have the iPhone 5 as a different plug than the thing. And
yes, it is. And so, well, you don't have
and
the
I
accessories.
And I can't get out of the contract for the hotspot that I bought like a moron and I don't.
Whatever.
Hey!
You know, your phone can be used as a hotspot. I tried to tell you this.
Right, not this. Oh, this phone, not that phone.
Yes,
only
this phone.
The iPhone 5.
No, I have an iPhone 4S, and I use it as a hotspot.
Help me now.
You have to sign up for the program.
Where do you put the quarter in?
And someone just told me you can print from your iPad?
Yes, you can.
What?
You need an app for that.
Why wasn't I told?
You need
All right. I hate technology.
Yes, I just got a tweet. The iPhone 3G, 3GS cannot use iOS 5.
Right.
Which is what our app is written for.
You are speaking pig Latin to me. I don't know what you're saying.
But there's
saying.
A free iOS G4 7-2
damn kids
to the fourth power.
And by the way, when I say kids, I mean my friends that are in their 30s.
Well.
Irritating. Roland never looks up from his iPhone ever. I'm like, we have not made eye contact in 2 years. I'm going to throw that thing into
I'm in my mid-40s and you...
Throwing yours in the toilet, too.
It's just really disturbing to see a whole family sitting around, a bunch of people, and they're not looking at each other.
Nobody looks at each other anymore.
Just, they're just with their thumbs, all of them, just talking to
Where
someone.
Where have you seen a family like that?
Jim and I are...
The hotel in, what's it called?
I don't know. Jim and I are just crotchety.
It's not like people are sitting around dinner just texting other people or each other.
Yeah. All right.
No, they're...
Yep. Fortunately,
yeah,
there's a lot of ways to get me. A love letter from Justin in Utah.
Okay.
Hello, my name is this ends well for me, hello. A lot of times it does not.
No, it does
hello.
Not.
Hello. You are a C word. Okay, my name is Justin, I'm from Utah. I can't hear your radio show live in Utah. Of course you can, Justin. So I subscribe to your podcast and I love every minute of it. The thing I love most is how you are vaguely aggressive with your callers. Really appreciate that about you. I wasn't trying to be vague about it. I need to get more... Openly hostile.
Yeah.
Vaguely aggressive?
I'm just not doing it right.
That seems... All right. Let's see. Jim writes about both... We keep talking about the mainstream media meme about both sides do it.
Oh, please. Just,
yes, look over there. Both sides... Oh, everybody's to blame. Both sides are... blaming both sides for the inability of Congress to accomplish something is like being a bystander of mugging and saying, I'm fed up with you guys fighting all the time. Just
exactly.
Knock it off.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. You are the smartest one. All right, Jim, who said gay people are born and belong to every society in the world? They are all ages, all races, all faiths. They are doctors and teachers, farmers and bankers, soldiers and athletes. And whether we know it or whether we acknowledge it, they are our family, our friends, and our neighbors. Being gay is not a Western invention. It is a human reality. Who said that?
Marcus Bachman. I'm super. Thanks for asking.
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Hillary Clinton.
Oh.
Who is back to work today and we wish her well.
Yes, we do.
There we go.
Greg Gutfeld does not wish her well.
No. Oh, yeah. Should have
blood
clot.
Eric was
sure.
Funny. His statement was like written seriously by a 12-year-old. Yeah. We wish her and her family well. We hope they're going to... And then he goes on to say the same crap he's been saying for... Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same evil stuff.
Yes. Uh-huh. That sounded really sincere, the first part.
Of course we do. Oh, we're happy that she's better.
Yeah. He only said that because he had a gun to his head.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was made to say that.
They always look like hostage videos when somebody on Fox has to say anything vaguely nice about anybody liberal.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, or just to express something that seems humanoid, some sort of human-like emotion.
Yeah,
okay.
We wish them well.
With an eye roll that you can hear.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Teenage eye roll.
Yeah.
Hair flip. Okay.
Whatever.
Greg writes regarding Hillary's testimony. Steph, John Bolton chimed in, of course, with fabricated accusations that the Secretary of State was lying her way out of testifying before Congress about Benghazi. Let me remind Attila the Ambassador of a couple of details that occurred during the days of the Bush administration, of which he was an integral part. One example of someone brazenly lies to avoid the scrutiny of the American people, try Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
You remember this? Mr. Cheney agreed to testify before Congress about the Valerie Plame affair, but only on two stipulated conditions. Number one, his testimony would be given in private and, quote, off the record.
Yeah.
And number two, he would not agree to take the oath before, quote, unquote, testifying.
Just like with the 9/11 commission.
Right, and the energy, I mean, all of it.
You're not allowed to write anything down. And if you quote me, you're dead.
Exactly.
Not kidding.
Okay. Okay. And Jeff writes something I thought of. There's always something that makes my head explode about media press. And he pointed out the same thing I thought. Steph and company, it appears the latest nominee for why are we paying attention to this person is Carly Fiorina.
Oh, yeah. Why?
Right? That's what Jeff says, who seems to be all over the place these days, in particular on Sunday's Meet the Press. These are the fun facts. In 2005, she single-handedly almost destroyed one of the greatest tech companies of the 20th century, Hewlett-Packard.
And they're still trying to recover from
that. Yes. In 2010, she spent an excess of $120,000 losing the election to Barbara Boxer. In 2008, campaign advisor to John McCain. 2010, the campaign advisor and surrogate for the losing presidential campaign of Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
Strike three, astonishingly, or perhaps not, Fiorina is now vice chair of the National Republican Senate Committee.
But she's not in the Senate.
Jeff, P.S., Hewlett-Packard has apparently not learned their lesson, as they just appointed Meg Whitman, who spent over $170,000 losing to Jerry Brown. But good luck with that.
Well, they have enough money to pay publicists, clearly.
Yes.
And apparently Meg Whitman is not doing Hewlett-Packard any favors.
Really?
From what I understand, from all the tech blogs I read.
Did you call it Hewlett-Packard?
Packard, yes.
Thanks to her help.
Do not repeat your unkind speculation that you repeated during the gubernatorial campaign.
I don't remember that.
About the fact that she has a forehead so wide you could show a movie on it.
Well,
that kind of thing, and that she's a little bit gummy.
Well, sure, with your iPhone.
Oh, she is gummy. App. She's all gums.
You see?
What?
What did I tell you? I told you do not repeat the things.
She's like Meg Ryan. She's all gums.
See what I did? I tricked you into that. Okay. Yeah. Jesse has sent me a New Year's future husband.
Oh.
Future husband stack meets a drunk stack.
Okay.
Is one of your New Year's resolutions to make a police blotter for something ridiculously dumb? If so, try repeating what some guy attempted to do yesterday, breaking into Wine World using a giant boulder in broad daylight. Stupidity trivecta landed the guy who was wearing red gloves and likely not fully sober from the New Year's Eve festivities in police custody. The entire front of the store is glass. He was throwing it over and over and it wouldn't break. So he finally gave up. Meanwhile, across the street, there were people standing there drinking their coffee, filming him with iPhones, and then they called the police. I give him points for trying.
Yeah.
If I was with him, honey, take that giant boulder and go try to break into Wine World.
Oh, like you haven't gotten someone to do that before.
Yeah, but if it's really a giant boulder, it's going to break all the bottles of wine. I mean,
right.
Not boxes.
Not
boxes.
Well, I could squish them.
Not well thought out, that plan.
Nope.
All right, 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Fresh Republican outrage. You keep listening, she'll make more. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Oh, I forgot. Jesse also sent me a future wife drunk stack just to even things out for the new year.
All right.
Oh, there is a middle-aged drunken woman airlines.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh,
had
yes,
I known, I would stop flying Screaming Baby Airlines immediately.
Yeah.
I love this story because it's so Bridesmaids meets FM.
Yeah.
Two middle-aged women forced a British Airways flight to make an emergency landing after they allegedly got drunk and ran riot on board. The pair, aged 50 and 43, drank Malibu from the bottle.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
yeah.
Exactly.
Mixed.
No, it's coconut-flavored rum-like material.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Swore in front of children.
Well, whatever. Who doesn't?
Refused to return to their seats and tried to force their way into the cockpit.
That's usually a bad idea.
One passenger claimed they threatened to track down and kill the family of a stewardess on board, and they hid in the toilets to smoke a cigarette. So,
wow.
That's
a whole lot of
party.
Wrong. Yeah.
A lot of wrong in that particular story.
But it sounds like you.
But they sound like my kind of gals.
That's right.
Tanya in Spokane. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tanya.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I would just like to make it known to the American people. Grover Norquist is the agreement that he has.
Yes.
For not raising taxes. That is under treason law. That's constitutional treason.
Yep. Yep.
What that does is that that blocks the tax increase for the Republicans, and when
right. Yeah, exactly. Although
for the freedom of
they just violated it. I don't care what he said. I don't know if that was in my head or on her phone.
No, that was on her phone.
Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
We could all hear it.
Yeah.
It wasn't just you.
I thought it was my hangover.
No.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't care what he says. They violated it. So it's done. You know, they broke it. They raised taxes. Haha, neener. Okay, let's go to Queen Bee in Tennessee. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Queen Bee.
Hi, y'all.
Hey, Queen Bee.
Hello. Hello, sexy Chris.
How are you?
All right.
I'm fine.
How are you
okay.
two? You two kids. Come on, break it up.
Okay. All right. First thing I want to tell you is I need to apologize again. You know, Marsha Blackburn's from Tennessee.
Yeah.
What more can I say?
Yep.
And the next thing I want to talk about is the Republicans keep talking about entitlement reforms and all that sort of stuff. Well, they're talking about Social Security, which does not add to the deficit. But Medicare, you know, John Boehner got a $900 raise this year, and with the COLA that Social Security recipients got, it was 1.7%. For me, that's $84 a year. If we're going to cut entitlements, let's get rid of the 75% of medical payments that we pay, insurance that we pay for Congress members, and what's with the $174,000 we pay them a year.
Right.
A lot of people don't understand that.
Right.
And it just makes me mad that I paid in to my Social Security. They don't need to be messing with it. And my Medicare, I pay into that, too. That also
yep.
went up. It does every time we get a cost of living increase.
Yep. Yep, and if only you could just have your boy toy Chris come take care of you.
I'd give you a sponge bath.
Yeah. Oh, that would be wonderful.
Wow.
It would make everything seem so much better.
I'd do it shirtless, too.
Would you?
Yes.
Aw. What's happening with you and Queen Bee? That's a little...
Hey, you know, okay. You take it where you can get okay. it, I suppose.
All you right. just got a ticket to Cougar Town.
Yeah.
Peggy... So many levels of wrong. Peggy in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Peg.
Hi. I just have a comment about Chuck Hagel. He seems like a pretty decent Republican.
Right.
The other Republicans seem like they're in bed with the Israelis, and they're always looking to take care of Israel. I'm not against
In this case, it's because
all,
he doesn't. He would prefer that they or we don't bomb Iran. That's not
right.
being anti-Israel, by the way.
Right. Well, he's looking out for us. It seems like the other people, if they have business relations, you know, in other countries, they're always looking to take care of them first, and it makes us look bad. Now, I have nothing against Jerusalem or Israel people, but, you know, the other countries see that. I think every time we stick up for, you know, people there, they don't, it makes us look bad, or it's not putting us first.
Yep.
And it seems like if he's been in battle, I think those are the people that have been in battle are the only people that should be able to make that decision.
And you know
about
what, Peggy,
how hard it is.
It's just another example of how far right this party has gone, because there's no room for the Chuck Hagel. He's, you know, one of the last, like, semi-reasonable, normal Republicans. So Lindsey Graham, of course, calls that an in-your-face choice.
I think it's an incredibly controversial choice.
What?
And it looks like the second term of Barack Obama is going to be an in-your-face term.
Oh, God. He's such an idiot.
Wow. A Republican, a Vietnam veteran from Nebraska.
I've always thought he would be a great choice
for
defense. And now that it's happening, the Republicans...
Yeah.
Don't want it because it's too reasonable. They can't attack it, so they on legitimate grounds, so they find all kinds of other reasons.
Former Senator Max Cleland said all this other stuff has been bull up to now. Decision is made when the president makes the decision. The Senate plays its role. He said, I don't see the United States Senate rejecting Chuck Hagel under any circumstance we can foresee at this point. He said, look Chuck Hagel in the eye and vote up or down against a combat wounded veteran, against a former member of the United States Senate, against a Foreign Relations Committee member, against a sitting member of the Military Intelligence Advisory Committee to the Department of Defense. Look him in the eye and vote against him for Secretary of Defense. Are you kidding me?
Mm. It might be wise for him maybe to take back his comments about James Hormel, but, you know.
Yes, well, we'll talk about that when we get back. 29 minutes after the hour, and he did. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Sounds like someone's got a case of the Mondays.
Stupid Monday. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We were talking about the Chuck Hagel nomination. Max Cleland said, look at John Kerry and Chuck Hagel, two wounded combat veterans of the Vietnam War. They've got five Purple Hearts between them. That's the kind of people we want withdrawing from Afghanistan, ending this insane war and occupation, and focusing the country on using our American military to stay out of war. But if we get in war, to win it and win it quickly. I see them as the perfect dynamic duo. Batman and Robin, Salt and Pepper, Tom and Jerry. Whatever you want to call it.
Peanut butter and jelly.
Instead of state and DOD fighting each other all the time, as is historically the case, I see them hand in glove together. It's a good point.
10-speed and Brown Shoe.
Right. Okay, that's it. Turner
Nick and
Hooch.
Keith.
Turner
I'll give that example.
Right.
He's had his other throats
Butch
for a while.
Cassidy. Okay, never mind. All right. So you were bringing up the left has criticized
Liam and Noel. No.
What?
Okay.
No.
All right. For past statements they say are homophobic. Hagel apologized for the comments, earning him praise from the Human Rights Campaign as well as President Obama. We were saying that it was about Clinton's, this was what, in 1996, 7,
yeah.
8, something, I
yeah.
don't know, yeah. He said James Hormel, the ambassador, the nomination for...
ambassador to Luxembourg.
Right, was aggressively homosexual.
Aggressively homosexual.
Openly aggressively gay.
Which I kind of love that. As if you can be sort of vaguely.
He's a little in your face.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, Jim, you were saying, Chuck Hagel to me has always seemed like a reasonable, normal, guy. It's something he said, can you keep someone out of public office that said something that they've apologized for how many years ago? And I'm gay, but I don't.
How many times have you apologized for something?
Hello. I couldn't be Secretary of Anything. Kevin in D.C., you're on the... Can you imagine Newsbusters would go insane if I got nominated for anything? And what?
Oh, my God. They have all the tape.
You could be Secretary of STFU.
Yeah, how about that?
Yes. Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Well, good morning, Alabaster Angel.
Hello, yes.
We're coming to D.C. in 2 weeks, you know.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. And I think it's quite natural and normal that someone named Kevin from D.C., would be at the D.C. Sexual Liberal Show.
Woo! Woot! Woot! You know, for old time's sake, we should have you carry me on stage.
I was thinking the same thing.
Oh. I think we should get on that.
I think an encore would be, but would there ever any doubt that I wasn't going to be there? Come on.
All right. I'm very excited. All right, so go ahead, sweet.
Actually, I just got excited. Now, let me calm down a little bit.
Okay.
All right. Now. Anyway, I was wondering, at least I haven't seen it. You guys watch these things more than I do. But Republicans are always going on and on about fiscal responsibility and blah, 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 blah. Well, as I understand it, I've heard tell that we outdo every other country several times in defense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So why don't they cut that? We have a war.
Well,
it down.
Kev, I don't know if you've seen the, I guess it's a pie chart someone did, but when they keep blathering on about, Social Security and Medicare, they're the biggest, cost, blah, blah. It is not. It is by far the military industrial complex.
Absolutely. I want a decent defense like anyone else, but I guess I'm just not one of these, I was going to say it over the air, can't do it, but
right.
just the illogic frustrates me. I don't like want to come off like Mr. Spock, but as you've detailed in this show and others, in virtually every subject, there's no logic to these people. It's all fear and generalizations and swinging things around, right up to Hillary, what they were saying about Hillary Clinton.
It's just like you to generalize about all Republicans.
Now, I do not. What is my little filibuster every time I make the difference between, you know, your Rush the Drug Lushes and your Kathleen Parkers? I do it every time.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that. Oh, by the way, did you see this? Our favorite, you know, Dick Armey.
An army of penis Air Force.
Right.
Yes. Schmeckle right. Coast Guard.
Right. Dick Armey said his group received too little value from their substantial investment in conservative broadcasters like Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh.
Wow.
He was unsure of the sum which Limbaugh had negotiated with FreedomWorks, but he said Beck got $1 million annually.
Wow.
For positive mentions. The arrangement was simply FreedomWorks paid Glenn Beck money, and Glenn Beck said nice things about FreedomWorks on the air.
Oh, my God.
For $1 million a year.
How can you get that deal from FreedomWorks, Stephanie?
Gee, I hope they don't have to pay taxes on that money.
Wow. Wow. Is that even, what's the word I'm looking
legal?
For, Chris? Legal?
That seems like payola.
Yeah.
You know, in music
exactly.
radio, they have payola.
Right.
It's, you know, they record companies paid.
You say something nice about me, I'll do a little something for you.
That totally seems like payola, and that's illegal.
Yeah.
You scratch my back, I don't shoot you in the back of the head.
Wow.
I don't garrote you from the back of a car.
All right. Jeff in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, Jeff.
Yes, I'm calling to agree that, sexual politics and party affiliation notwithstanding, I approve of President Obama's election of Chuck Hagel. I believe that he's got the political courage to look out for American strategic interests first and should not have to be subjected to the AIPAC litmus test.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I hear you. Gary in Nebraska, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Hagel as well. Hi, Gary.
Hi. Yeah, in general, I'm just tired of the Republicans picking the president's cabinet, but I'm an old yellow dog up here in northwest Nebraska, and I got the shock of my life on local radio a couple of years ago. They are local radios, crappy. But
what a shock.
Yeah, I know. They play, Rush Limbaugh and stuff. Mm-hmm. But one day I heard a Charlie Musselwhite tune coming out of that there radio, and I said, what the hey? So I held back and see if they'd bust out with some Paul Butterfield or something. Nope, it was Chuck Hagel ripping the Republican machine all to pieces.
Wow.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, one reason I support him.
Yep.
Is when he came back from the war, instead of jumping into the bottle and the bag like we did, he studied it, like what just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
He does this.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, I'd say give him a second chance.
Yep, yep, I agree. Oh, sorry, honey, thought you were done there.
Charlie Musselwhite and the other guy he mentioned, harmonica players.
There you go. Lindsey Graham disagrees with him.
Oh, you have somebody who is very antagonistic toward the state of Israel and the issues we jointly right. face. And there is no Jewish lobby. There is a pro-Israel lobby.
So that's being antagonistic toward Israel, thinking it might not be the best idea if we or Israel bombs Iran.
Poke with a sharp stick
might
all of their neighbors.
The best outcome.
Kill a lot of innocent people.
By the way, Chris in Yankton said, I wasn't aware I was tuned into another installment of Tech Talk today on the Stephanie Miller Show. All I want to know is, can I get a fax on my Sony Walkman? You know what? I'm almost certain that you can. I have one. I listen to the radio every day when I hike. I have my little Sony Walkman.
Does it have a cassette?
You can hear Paul Butterfield and Charlie Musselwhite.
Do you still have a cassette?
It's an AM radio. No, it's an AM radio that goes on my arm.
Well, a Walkman is a cassette player, isn't it?
No, there's a Sony Walkman that's a little AM radio.
No.
That Mama uses to listen to her Randy Rhodes. Okay.
You listen to your stories on it, too?
My stories. Randy tells me my stories in the afternoon. Trisha in Georgia.
Stories.
Trisha in Georgia, you're on. And if I could get one of those old-time radios on my arm, I would
strap that on
there.
A big knobs on it? Yeah.
Get a Victrola for your
better,
arm.
A better workout? And hi, Trisha.
Hey. I was just calling because... I understand when Mr. Hagel left the Senate, the turtle man, Mitch McConnell,
yes.
he he made a great speech on the floor about what a great guy Chuck Hagel was. And I wanted to know if y'all knew that Mr. Hagel rescued Mitch McConnell's brother in the Vietnam War in a tank incident.
Wow. Well, you know, I mean, you know, Trish, you have to assume we're going to start seeing these clips on TV every night as this goes on. You know, John McCain, Mitch McConnell, they had nothing but great things to say about him.
Where's
right?
the gratefulness from Mr. McConnell? He saved his brother's life.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. Chris in Salt Lake City, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Chris.
Well, hello, Stephanie. Hello, Mama. Hello,
yes.
Chris.
Hello.
And sexy Jim.
Oh,
Jim,
there you
I
go.
Saying, can I run my fingers through that gorgeous gray hair of yours?
From there? Okay, give it a shot. Yeah.
People love the mane. The mane is very popular.
I love it, Stephanie, but thank you. I live in a red state. I have Mike Lee. I have Governor Herbert. I have Orrin Hatch.
Oh.
I mean, it's just pure torture to live here in Utah, and if not for you, Stephanie, and those two gorgeous he-men that you work with, I would be pulling out my hair. I would be bald as a cue ball right now, and I just want to thank you, sexy liberal. I love you. I love you. Jim, you do it for me every single day,
well.
Babe.
Okay.
You do it for me, but thanks, guys.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Love you.
Thank you very much.
Love you.
Love you, Mama.
Woo-hoo.
Yay, Chris.
Utah in the house. Yay. Oh, wow. And a little sugar for Jim. Do you like that hair pull?
I do it for her every day.
Really now. Oh, I was talking about a pie chart saying that the vast majority of the debt is the military-industrial complex and not Social Security and Medicare.
Right.
And Stephen in Chicago writes, Steph, I did a pie chart and it revealed that I was spending most of my money on pie. Okay. Well...
I guess it's better than a tunnel of fudge bunk cake.
Sure, that's the point of a pie chart, but okay. All right.
That was actually the original title of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
What?
Tunnel
of fudge bunk cake.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
It sounds dirty.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
It really, really does.
45 minutes after the hour. Back with Celebrity Stack and the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Making more people spit coffee on themselves than any other radio show in America. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like
Stephanie Miller?
Don't you wish your girlfriend was fun like
Stephanie Miller?
Don't you?
Shush, 49. It's after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, Celebrity Stack.
Oh?
You know, response times in some parts of L.A., not so good. Unless, of course, you're Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. And
sure.
One of your little tots accidentally hit some sort of panic alarm in the house. They got a police arrived. Oh, a car and a helicopter. How many of y'all get that when you call the police in like 4 minutes?
Okay.
Yeah. One of the little...
Your call is very important to us.
That's what I get.
Oh, you're Brad and Angelina. We'll send a helicopter car and be there in a minute and a half.
How much did that cost the city of Los Angeles?
I don't know. Everything's fine.
$1 million.
Sure, it's more than that.
Thanks. All right. Nancy Pelosi is appearing on the 30 Rock series finale.
Oh, awesome.
Wow.
She said, I would do almost anything Tina Fey asked me to do. Well, who wouldn't?
I think we all would.
Right? Hillary movie? Hillary movie, everybody.
Yep.
A screenplay making the rounds out here in Hollywood titled Rodham. It follows the exploits of a 20-something Hillary Clinton as she balances the pressures of her job working to impeach Richard Nixon as the youngest attorney at the Justice Department with her budding romance with a boy named Bill.
Aw, that sounds adorbs.
Totes adorbs. Can we just, here's, I just have one thing to say, give it to Meryl Streep. Just give everything to Meryl Streep. Just don't even.
No,
well,
just, Meryl Streep
not
can't play a
21-year-old
ingenue anymore.
Her daughter could.
Yes.
Maybe
Dumber.
Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then Meryl for the older.
There you go.
Right?
Well, they're only focusing on the 70s.
Oh, that's right.
So, you just read that.
I don't care. Meryl Streep can play anything. Okay.
Yeah, she was pushing. Meryl Streep was pushing playing a young ingenue in Death Becomes Her.
Oh, how dare you.
What?
I love her so much. James Carville slammed the inhumane, idiotic critics who questioned the legitimacy of Hillary Clinton's recent head injury and said it was duly noted inside Clinton land. What kind of human being is going to think like that with everything going on with concussions and head injuries? He said, I have no idea what it is about the Secretary of State that drives them to this kind of inhumane, idiotic behaving state. Yeah, Eric Bowler was saying earlier, Clinton derangement syndrome is back. All right. Oh, here's some good news. Barney Frank would welcome an interim appointment to fill John Kerry's seat. He said he told Deval Patrick, the governor of Massachusetts, he would welcome an interim appointment. He said the fiscal cliff deal to pass the House earlier this week and set the stage for a return to the same legislative fight in a matter of months means that February, March, and April are going to be among the most important months for the American economy. I don't know about you, but I kind of like the idea of Elizabeth Warren and Barney Frank in there.
I think that's a dandy idea.
Fighting the Senator Ron Johnsons of the world, Republican. Boy.
President Obama and the Democrats have no intention, as a result, they have no plan to reduce the deficit, to reduce government's control in our life. This isn't going to go away. We're not going to solve this thing, unfortunately, because President Obama has no intention of solving it, hasn't given us a plan. This is going to go on time and time and time again.
Oh, for God's sakes, really? Really? Really, people? Yeah. Okay. I just, you know what? Reading stories about Republican dissension just makes me happy. Is that wrong?
No.
Washington Post, Republican dissension over debt ceiling strategy. They're in a skosh bit of disarray. Early signs of division, indeed.
I think that's the first time I've ever heard you say that, Jim.
He stole my tea and then a he.
Yeah.
There are early signs of division within the Republican Party over how to approach the upcoming debate over raising the federal debt ceiling. On Friday, a top Senate Republican signaled members of his party would be prepared to play hardball, be willing to accept the kind of consequences, blah, blah, blah. Boehner likewise insisted Republicans hold the line, telling his members they must demand that every dollar they raise the debt limit be paired with a commensurate spending.
Come on.
Other Republicans counseled caution, warning the pressure from the business community and the public to raise the borrowing limit renders untenable any threats to do so and will weaken the GOP's hand if their stance is perceived to be a bluff. Newt Gingrich, this was what everybody was talking about on Friday, said the strategy of waging a showdown over the debt ceiling, he said it is a dead loser for the Republicans. Some Republicans on Capitol Hill similarly hesitant to, I mean, they really are all over the place. John Cornyn wrote an op-ed saying they should be prepared to force a government shutdown to extract concessions. They once again need to finish the argument among themselves before they can... Oh, no, it's another story of Republican disarray.
What?
Chris Christie's Straight Talk starts to grate on the GOP. A day after GOP House leadership unexpectedly tabled a bill that would have provided a relief to post-Sandy aid, he obviously blamed the boner. It laid stark how divergent the needs of his reelection bid in New Jersey are from the realities of a potential presidential run in a party that's tacked hard right, not just on social issues, but on spending and deficit reduction. Still, Christie hit some headwinds nationally from conservatives, including Christie fans, who thought he may have gone overboard in hitting an already diminished Republican national brand. Yeah, once Chris Christie sits on what's left of the Republican Party, that is...
You had to go there.
I did. The Wall Street Journal warned him Are you recounting the conversation between him and after he sat on John Boehner? Okay. All right, thank you. Tim in Vancouver, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Ken, by the way. All right. I was just listening to, I'm a combat vet actually living and working in Vancouver, so I'm like outside my country looking in. And two things that really are irking me besides everything the Republicans are doing is taxes. I pay taxes in two countries, all right? I'm not complaining. Okay, I use services here in Canada, and I also am a combat vet. You know, I just retired from the Navy in 2005 after 20 years. And just listening to all the vitriol coming out of people's mouths, it upsets me.
Yep.
It really does. I mean, I pay taxes, and I'm not complaining one bit. Heck, if I can afford more, I will pay more, and I am paying more. I get taxed on my pension twice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right? Get taxed mistakes and have everything called 85% rule up here, which says whatever you make outside the country pension-wise, you have to take 85% of what's left over.
Okay.
And I don't complain. The second thing is this Chuck Hagel debacle. I mean, the same people he served with in the Senate in the 1990s on the right, they praise him being a patriot and everything else, serving in Vietnam. And now they're saying that he's anti-Semite, he's against gays and everything else. The question I want to ask Mitch McConnell, John Boehner, and the rest of them is this. You had Strom Thurmond, You had Jesse Helms, mm-hmm. people who were purported to be, racist.
Yep.
And they changed their ways, so they say, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, listen, this is how, you know, the other way their hypocrisy has been laid bare is look at how John Kerry got swift voted when he was running for president. Now they couldn't have said nicer things about him when they wanted him to be secretary.
Oh, John Kerry's great. We love John Kerry. Always love John Kerry.
Right, for blatantly political reasons. Right. Not because there's anything wrong with Susan Rice, but because, you know, or she did anything wrong. It's because they want
they
that
Senate. They were hoping to get Scott. Yes. What's his face in there?
The senator fold. Dexter,
Pink,
Pink pants. Dexter in New Orleans. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dexter.
Hey, Steph. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
It amazes me how irresponsible the Republicans are when they have supported so many wars, especially the last two wars, without even paying for them. You know, I think this country should step back, look at what the Republican Party is offering. Yeah, have we become such hypocrites that we are the problem?
Right.
You know, it's unreal that they can actually claim they didn't want to be fiscally responsible about the deficit, but yet the last two wars we never did even pay for.
Yeah.
And they got us into it.
Yep. Yep, and like I say, you know, it is patently untrue. You got to look at the numbers first. It is not Social Security and Medicare. It is the military-industrial mm-hmm. complex. And the fact is, Republicans are trying to give the military more than they want, more than they're even asking for. It's
John Kerry complained we didn't have enough boats. Au contraire.
Mitt Romney.
Romney.
Mitt
yes.
Romney.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay.
Huh?
What did I say?
You said John Kerry.
Oh, you know. Okay.
Oh.
I'm
all
stuck
right.
on different conversations.
That's all right. That's it for us.
They're both tall.
There's that.
Good hair.
All right. I'd like to thank Crystal Boy, Jim Ward, and T-Bone, folks back at Current. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.